You're listening to your MBA podcast with David and Kane. Wait, that's not our podcast anymore.
Breaking news. Larry O'Brien has made a trade request.
Made a request. He gave us a list.
He wants out.
You're listening to your MBA podcast with David and Kane. Kane, I am in no shape right now to do a podcast. I just finished the final episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi. It was terrible.
Did you binge watch it? Did you binge watch it?
I didn't binge watch it. In fact, I held off watching the last episode for about a week because the other episodes were so bad that...
Oh, really?
I was worried that I'll be hugely disappointed after I watched the finale, and I have to say, this has been a terrible experience. Directed by Deborah Wong. Please do not give her any more chances at directing anything. Thank you.
Oh, she's a woman. But how about the other spinoff, The Mandalorian? Isn't that on Disney as well? Is that any good?
The Mandalorian is much better. I like The Mandalorian. Right. But then they made Boba Fett, the Book of Boba Fett, which is sort of like a spinoff of Mandalorian. And Boba Fett is a piece of shit. It sucks.
Yeah.
They took one of the most beloved characters from the original trilogy and, you know, they just wrecked it. Worse, they have some Australian guy playing Boba Fett.
Right. But Boba Fett doesn't speak. Like, he speaks, but it's like a robotic speech, right? As I recall from the first Return of the Jedi, no?
No, that's Darth Vader. You're talking about the guy
in
the black.
No, I'm an idiot. No, you fuck. I know Star Wars a little bit. I'm talking about the bounty hunter. Isn't that Boba Fett?
The bounty hunter? Sean Marks. He's put out a warrant for Kyrie Irving.
Look, I'm not going to pretend I know Star Wars, but I'm pretty sure Boba Fett doesn't, like in the original movie, he didn't speak.
Yeah, much. That's right.
Like, he had, like, three lines, maybe. I can't remember. He, like, backflipped off the little hovercraft or something.
Yeah, that's right. Return of the Jedi. Yeah, you're right. Literally, he had like three or four lines and like, you know, most of the lines were like, yes, like, no, am I getting paid? And that was it. And maybe like, oh!
Okay, but he has...
When he fell into the sand pit.
So yeah, he had much more dialogue in The Mandalorian. Is it Boba Fett? Is it The Mandalorian?
No, The Mandalorian is not Boba Fett. The Mandalorian is kind of like Boba Fett's people, so they look like Boba Fett. They wear like similar armor, but Boba Fett is that particular character.
Okay. Who died?
Who died, but then they brought him back to wreck the Star Wars universe. With like the Book of Boba Fett, which takes place after the original trilogy. It's very complicated. I don't know what's happening. Look, I don't know.
Right,
I don't know what the young people
think. Yeah, I don't.
Let's not get started with this.
I don't care. Okay. All right.
Okay. So, okay.
Thank you for taking my mind off things that's happening right now in the NBA world. At least there's another franchise that's going in.
That's right. Good one. Yeah.
There's at least a little bit of silver linings.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Kane. It's been a couple weeks since free agency started, and really nothing's happened because that dipshit KD is, I don't know what he's doing. Okay. He's loitering around. Where is he? What is he doing?
I think he's on Twitter. I think he's been tweeting. I think the last thing he tweeted, at least I saw on social media, was... him praising Chet Holmgren for having a good game.
Okay, thank you, KD. Originally, I told you, let's do our episode after the KD trade. And
yeah,
at this point, it could be September, for all I know. You contact
him. It's next year. It's another year. He doesn't get traded. I guess, like, first of all, like, I think he made a wise move because still so much, like, fervor over his trade request. It came out of the blue because it seemed like the timeline was KD's not talking to the Nets and KD wants to get Kyrie his extension, and then nothing comes of it. Like, the Nets hold firm. They don't want to give Kyrie a max extension. Kyrie reluctantly signs the player option to opt into a one-year deal for $36 million. And then it seems like, oh, cool. You know, Katie and Kyrie's back for one more year. It's the perfect situation for the Nets because now it's like a prove-it deal. It's a one-year prove-it deal. There's no long-term obligation to pay Kyrie for multiple years. And Katie's still on this team for four more years. We have a chance to compete. We have a great team. Ben Simmons hopefully gets healthy. Joe Harris gets healthy. It seemed like after he signed his player option, it seemed like it's been salvaged the offseason. And we didn't have to do anything else. We got Katie, we got Kyrie. We're kind of good. Obviously, we don't know how the egos will play out and how the chemistry will work out. But at least at that moment, as soon as Kyrie signed the player option, it seemed like, okay, cool, we're good. And then the next day, it's like, it's like all hell broke loose. And everyone, like ESPN is just like around the clock breaking news, 24-hour news cycle, just about KD's, like every single whim and all the little movements that we hear, it's like, it's all happening. Like, it's just crazy. And I think he wisely said, like, okay, let's hold off. Like, let's wait until Katie gets traded. Then we'll have a podcast and, you know, we'll recap everything that's happened. But the more I thought about it, like, after the weekend and after the July 4th holiday, it seemed like the intensity for the trade, like, a trade was dying down. And it feels like we could have just, like, replayed the episode we had 2 weeks ago. Because what you said, role-playing that boardroom in Brooklyn, I think spoke a lot of truth. It kind of gave a lot of clarity to what's happening right now. And to sum it up, basically said, Sean Marks said to KD, or Josiah said to KD, look, KD, we got you for another 4 years. You can either suit up, because we don't have to take you, we don't trade you, you have to play, you can't sit out for 4 years. Or retire. That's basically two options. We'll do our best to build a competitive team around you. We're going to continue to try our best to win games. We're not going to give up anything. But as long as you're here, as long as you're under contract, you're going to be a Brooklyn Net, and we're not trading you. And that's
I recall Josiah was much more urban than that.
But like honestly, like I feel like you could replay the last episode, because I think what you said is really on point. Because everyone was just like so crazy and thinking about all these trade scenarios, like what would the trade package be for Phoenix? What would it look like for Miami? How would it work like a three-team trade with Lakers and Phoenix and Spurs and Utah and all these things? And I think people were just swept up with the imagination of KD landing on this team or this team. And Phoenix and Miami were the preferred destinations, apparently. But there were no winners because there's no all-stars for Phoenix. That without Devin Booker, there's no all-stars that you could get back. And Miami, you can't trade. KD said, I don't want to be traded to Miami unless it was Bam, Jimmy,
and... Oh my god, Lowry.
Lowry stay? Like, okay, well, who do we get? Duncan Robinson? Tyler Hero? Yeah, so what's that like? So Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, and
Max Strus,
seven first round picks. Max Strus, seven first round picks or something like that.
Do they even have all the first round picks?
Yeah, they have. Okay. So Phoenix and Miami have all the first round picks, and so Phoenix had a better trade package. They had DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, who's an all defensive player, and Cam Johnson, who's like 26. Like he's only like in his third year, but he's like already 26, so I guess he played 4 years of college or something like that. But it's like not that attractive either trade package.
In addition, I'm getting whispers and words that DeAndre Ayton might make his move first.
There's been no inclination from teams to want to sign him because they're waiting on KD to get traded first.
I heard some rumor that the Indiana Pacers are willing to make an offer.
Okay.
And Ayton might be saying, look, I can't wait anymore. I'll take that. Go to Indiana. Storage franchise.
What is it?
It will be a max contract.
What deal are we talking about?
We're talking about max contracts from the Indiana Pacers. Why not? Right. They got Rick Carlisle there. Rick Carlisle, he doesn't want to be a part of like some garbage lottery team.
But they will be.
Oh, okay. That's true.
Okay. Well, I mean, Halliburton and Ayton would be a good team, but I think they'll still be a lottery team.
If Ayton makes a preemptive move, that wipes out Phoenix's chance. No more Phoenix.
No, not necessarily. It'll be a sign and trade no matter what.
Okay, right.
It'll still be sign and trade. So if Ayton does make the first move, or his agent makes contact with the team and is like, hey, just come on, like sign this guy. Maybe even less than max, he'll take the deal at this point. A team bites and says, okay, fine, we'll do it, we'll sign him. I think it's unrestricted, but yeah, like we'll sign him. And then the Suns like, oh, whoa, we're not gonna lose him for nothing. Let's work out something. If the Suns get some extra draft picks, and then they say, hey, Brooklyn, we'll give you 10 draft picks.
From Indiana.
Yeah, I don't know. They get two protected first round picks or something. I don't know what you'll get for it. But basically, what the Suns want to do is they want to get KD, but they want to give up as little players as possible. They want to give away as many draft picks as they can. They don't care about the future. All they want is to keep their team together. And they want to keep Bridges. They want to keep... I think Bridges is the main sticking point. Like, there's no way they're trading. They can't trade Devin Booker at this point. But, you know, obviously it's Devin Booker, it's Chris Paul and KD. And if they keep Bridges, and I think they'll be good. Like, I think that's a championship contender. But without Bridges, maybe they think like, okay, well now we're kind of pushing up some role players up into the starting lineup. It gets a bit complicated, but like... Even for the Nets side, it's not like Mikal Bridges is your franchise as the cornerstone of a trade.
See, this is issue, right? Go ahead.
Let me just sum it up. Okay. Like, to go back with what you were saying last week, it's like, okay, look, KD, just we're gonna build a competitor around you. We're not going to trade you. Like, as simple as that. We're not going to trade you. That's what they said in the boardroom. And KD's like, fuck that. I want to be traded. It's like, no, you're staying. That's it. We got you for 4 years. What are you going to do? Retire? Then go, retire. But if you're not going to retire, you have to play for us. You're a Brooklyn Net. And we're going to build a competitive team around you. And I think really, realistically, that is the best choice because he has Kyrie. Or Kyrie will play if KD plays, I think.
What's your latest feeling on Kyrie? Don't tell me you were serious. Are you still, you're still into this guy?
No,
Be honest. You've got to be honest with me. I don't want jokes.
No, I'm saying...
I'm angry, Kane. I'm angry. Joke. He is ruining your franchise.
it's confusing because I thought this guy was gonna. I didn't even know. I didn't even know KD was gonna come to this team. Originally, it was Kyrie. Kyrie was like 1A for me. I knew there had to be 1B, but Kyrie was 1A for me. If we got Kyrie, I was like, sweet. Like, we're good. We're so good because. Kyrie would bring somebody. And originally, I thought it was Jimmy Butler. I thought it would be Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler being the 1B. I mean, I was like dead wrong because the 1B was KD, and KD is like by far the, at that time, was the like best player in the league. So I was like, that's it. We've won at least two championships, you know? If no one was injured, they would have won 2021.
I don't want to hear about... What if no one was injured? What if there was no COVID? What if this and what if that? I want to talk about right now and the reality of what has happened.
Well, because we have to project. The reality right now is everyone's hurt. Everyone is looking at the past and saying, for all these things, this is what has led us here. And if it wasn't for this, you know, we wouldn't be in this situation. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think they could have arrived at this situation in a million different ways because you're right, KD and... Kyrie have those really unpredictable personalities that can just trigger and can blow up a locker room. That's perfectly fair. Like KD himself in his last year in Golden State was perfectly capable of doing that by himself, even though they had a perfect system, the perfect team, the best coach, the best ownership that was willing to pay whatever it took to win championships. KD found a way to remove himself from that situation. And, you know, it is what it is. KD was the greatest player on that team. And he deserved the right to, you know, as a free agent after the 4 years being there to change scenery if he wanted to. It's perfectly his option. I just feel like with the Nets situation, right now is in a prison of the moment. It's like there's no turning back. The well has been poisoned. Kyrie has just made this untenable situation, and nobody wants to repair it. But I think if there was some way to look at the light at the end of the tunnel, which is still a championship on paper with KD and Kyrie and Ben Simmons, I think there's something there. I think the recipe is there.
Oh, God. Just, Jesus Christ.
I just think there needs to be some kind of rational, logical, responsible, mature conversation between the management and KD and Kyrie.
You know, when Nets announcer Sarah Kustak defends the first degree murderer that is her father.
At least I understand that
that's her father, that's her dad. The fact that Kyrie has literally scorched earth, your entire franchise, sets you back a decade.
Well, what's the alternative?
The alternative is to take the pain now. No more this giving second chances. Maybe he'll be better next year. He left Cleveland in a bad situation. He threatened that if you don't trade me, I'm going to get surgery. I'm not going to play for you. He goes to Boston, says he wants to retire in Boston, says he wants, does a commercial and says to his dad that he wants his jerseys up in the rafters. Preseason, talks to the fans and tells them that he'll be re-signing if they'll have him back.
Okay.
And then abandons that team.
Yeah, well, he doesn't ruin the team.
Not before trying to guard Giannis, okay, in the playoffs, and then Giannis like blasting past him and like fucking dunking over his face.
Okay.
Goes to the Nets, fast forward, 2 years later, 3 years later, 3 years later, and he's blowing up your team. He's poisoned the well, he's pissed over KD. Okay, let me just remind you the cost of having Kyrie Irving and KD, D'Angelo Russell.
Meh.
Karis LeVert.
Yeah.
By the way, in the car a couple years ago, you told me D'Angelo Russell was your favorite player. Okay, let's just keep it real.
I told you that in confidence.
D'Angelo Russell, Karis LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, your Spencer Dinwiddie. Jared Allen.
Oh yeah, that's a big one.
Kenny Atkinson.
Kenny.
That's just the players.
Yeah.
How about the draft picks that you have to give up?
Yeah.
In order to surround KD and Kyrie with their buddy, James Harden, you gave up your draft picks for 2021.
Yeah.
2022.
Yeah.
2023.
Yeah.
2024.
Yeah.
2025.
Yeah.
2026.
Well, some of those are...
2027!
Some of those are pick swaps. Not...
Unprotected pick swaps. What does that mean? You don't own your pick.
Well, we should be competitive still because we got KD and Kyrie.
You won one playoff series and you got swept the other 2 years in the first round.
Yeah, the Raptors and the Celtics. Yeah, that's true. Okay, fine. We can cut bait with Kyrie. I don't really care. I'm just saying like... All I'm saying is that If KD does realize that his best... If he wants to win, he wants to play basketball. We know KD loves playing basketball. If he does realize that his best chance to win is to talk sense to Kyrie and make it work with Kyrie and talk sense with... And try to remediate things and kind of mend the bridge with Josiah and Sean Marks and everything between those four guys. If that's what it takes, then I think KD realizes... It's still the best chance to win in Brooklyn, if they're healthy, of course. I'm not saying that like they're definitely going to win if they all if they don't get traded, they're definitely going to win and everything's all roses. Of course, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's still a very good chance, and on paper, it's a really good team. But yeah, of course, if they can trade Kyrie for anything at all, I'll take it. You know, obviously, if they trade KD. Right now, the MO is Sean Marks is not going to trade KD unless he gets a King's ransom. He just saw Gobert get traded to the Wolves for 5 first-round picks. He saw DeJounte Murray, a first-time All-Star, get traded for 3 first-round picks. he's not going to trade Kevin Durant, the best top two player in the world right now, for anything less than 7 first round picks after those fucking like overselling of those guys. And it's the thing, like Woj, as soon as the trade requests became public, Woj said 15 teams called the Nets, and without the Nets even responding, those 15 teams already upped the offers without a response. They just like, okay, we'll give you more. I don't really believe, I'm not listening to any of the noise right now. Like, I don't really care about any of the rumors. Those offers are still on the table. They're not taking them off the table. They're not like suddenly thinking like, oh, you know what? Actually, like KD didn't, like his play efficiency rating's not as good as it was in 2021. Like, oh, he's actually, like, no, fuck that. Like, KD is still one of the best players in the world. He's got 4 years. He's one of the best players. Like, everything now is just negotiating a tactic. But those offers are still on the table. And it's just up to the Nets to decide who they want to go down with. I think they're taking a really like defensive approach, like saying like, well, you know, we'll just sit here. We don't care. We don't have to trade KD. We got him for 4 years. He's going to have to play. He's not going to sit out for 4 years. So he's going to have to play. We have his rights. And I think eventually when the league starts realizing that, that's when real offers, serious offers, offers that Sean Marks will actually entertain will start to happen. Because there's just been some, like, apparently, what was it? Like, there's just been some ridiculous offers, like, that the Nets got. And, like, what did you say? Like, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, and some first-round picks. And
well, that's based on KD's demands, right? That's not a realistic package.
Yeah, I know. Sure. Okay, but yeah, I mean, I'm in the subreddits as well, but the Suns are saying like, oh, look, if we can, well, would they accept Cam Johnson and I don't even know the other players and like 3 protected first round picks? Like, no, fuck off. Like, what is this shit? I remember it was like Cam Johnson, Landry Shamet. We don't want Landry Shamet back. Like,
Landry Shamet.
Okay. And then Raptors fans like you, like saying like, let's keep Pascal Siakam.
I didn't say that. You can have Siakam.
There's 3 players. There's 3 players that the Nets would want, and they need 2 of them in that package.
Right.
Need OG, Pascal Siakam, or Scottie Barnes. They need one of these, 2 of those 3 players. And it seems like the Raptors aren't willing to trade at least one of them. Like, one of those are untouchable, which is apparently Scottie Barnes, which I think is ridiculous, but Scottie Barnes is untouchable. But regardless of the fact is untouchable or not, you need to at least do Scottie Barnes and OG, or Pascal and OG, or Barnes and Pascal Siakam.
I've got some intel on the Raptors. The hold up there is not from the Raptors side, is coming from the Nets, because the Nets want to be a bit more patient in order to try to see if they can force Raptors to let go of Scotty.
Well, then that's the Raptors' fault. The Raptors don't want to give up Scotty.
Because you said 2 of those 3, any 2 of those 3.
It's most likely OG and Scotty, because OG has already kind of made public that he wants to leave the Raptors.
KD is a 34-year-old player, and we have to have proper expectations for what we can expect from KD going forward. Which is not to say that KD is not a top 5 player, maybe even top 3 player. But you're asking the Raptors to give up Scottie Barnes, a 20-year-old, for basically 1 or 2 more years of prime KD. And I'm not sure if the Raptors can do that. I'm not even sure Masai is able to do that. Because, I mean, let's think practically, realistically and practically. If you're the GM, would you risk your career to go in all in and trade for KD? And if it doesn't work out, basically get left with nothing and have to rebuild and restart? Or would you rather build with 20-year-old Scottie Barnes?
They traded the like Messiah. They traded the false prophet in DeMar DeRozan to the Spurs for Kawhi Leonard. 1 year rental of Kawhi Leonard. And they said, look, we can compete if we just do this one trade. I think it was like Jacob Poeltl and DeMar DeRozan, and I don't know, maybe one draft pick or something. Very, very small compensation. But it was for Kawhi Leonard didn't even want to go to the Raptors, right? It wasn't on his list. But there wasn't that much demand for him because you're trading for a player that was not guaranteeing any signing with your team if you traded for them. And that's exactly what happened. The Raptors are like, look, you know, we don't care. You play with us, we'll try our best to convince you to stay in Toronto. But regardless, we're gonna compete. We're gonna play hard and, you know, we're gonna compete for a championship with you on our team.
The difference in that scenario is that they tried to get past the Cleveland team with that Raptor squad for about 3 or 4 years, and it's run its course, right? They've exhausted all possibilities, and therefore they moved away from DeMar and got Kawhi. But, you know, let's be honest, like, Kawhi was still in his 20s when they got him, right? I don't know, 26 years old. Whereas today, the situation is different. They think they can build, they think they can make a run with Scottie Barnes in maybe a few years.
I mean, this is why you make draft picks. You know, it's one is, yes, you feel like there's a potential that they become a franchise player like a Ja, you know, like how they've signed Zion, at least how the franchise views Zion. That's what they want. They want to see a franchise player. The other thing they want to do is they want to be able to draft star players and eventually with the hopes of trading them for an established superstar player. Because for some teams like the Raptors or the Suns or the Jazz, like it's not that easy to draft superstars. Like, yes, like in this current NBA landscape, they got superstars. They were lucky. They drafted well and they got the superstars and they got the franchise players and they signed the max contracts and it seems like all good. But for a lot of teams, and historically they haven't been so lucky, and sometimes your best bet, like, you know what, I don't know, like OKC did long time ago, is you draft your superstar and then you trade for other superstars. KD is, okay, let's put it this way. KD is a much, much better player than Scotty right now. You're saying that in 5-6 years, when Scotty is 26 and KD is probably retired, Scotty is still going to be in the NBA basically. But we don't know what Scotty's ceiling is or what his potential can be. Right now, it seems really good. I gotta be honest, I want Scotty because I think he can be a superstar. I think he can be, okay, it's not as high as I thought of Ben Simmons. I thought Ben Simmons was going to be a future MVP. And I gotta say, I'm starting to be concerned about that. I'm not feeling as strong as I used to.
Is that behind schedule?
It's on schedule. It's still on schedule.
As soon as we can get him to play basketball, right?
Look, but he's only played one rookie year. So it's pretty good. Like I have like extremely high hopes for him, basically. But he's not, like, to say that he could eventually be as good as KD is, even at age 34, it's an extremely tall order.
Well, I just think you don't need to replicate KD. KD's one of the greatest players ever, so I'm not sure how many chances.
You don't need to replicate, but if you could do it, why not just do it? What, you're not saying, it's not about replicating, but you could get it right now. I'm not saying he's not on the table. We don't know that. We actually don't know if he's untouchable or not. But why not? Like, if you could get KD, why not? Like, DeMar DeRozan was really good. You don't need a Kawhi Leonard because DeMar DeRozan was part of the culture of your team, as much of a false prophet he was. But if you could get a Kawhi, if you could inject that level of talent in your team, why not? KD loves basketball. He's not a culture killer.
Oh, God, are you kidding me? What? He literally took a bunch of Kyrie's sage bushels and like set the Barclays Center on fire. I think other teams have taken notice that we can't have KD as our leader, as our franchise. We can definitely have KD as the best player. Even when he was on Golden State, KD was the most talented player, but he was not the culture. He was not the heart and soul of the Warriors. And he can't, because KD can't be the bus driver. And that's just a matter of fact. And there's no shame in that. You can still be the best player. You can still win finals MVP. But you don't have that culture. You don't have that leadership quality. And practically what that means is that it reduces the teams that KD can go to. I think you might be overestimating the type of assets Brooklyn can get back. And I think Brooklyn is finding out exactly that.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah, Brooklyn wants the fucking Kings ransom because KD is still an elite player and still, like you said, top two, top five, top three, whatever you want to call it. He's one of the top players in the league still. And yeah, you're right. We don't know how many more years of prime we can get from KD because of his injury history, because of his age. They might be asking a bit too much, but like, why not? Like, I don't kind of get this thing like, oh, well, you know, you need to settle, you need to sell. What's the point? If you're not trying to win a championship, or if you think like this is bad for culture and you're just going to cut bait, like, what are you going to end up with? Just a bunch of players, a bunch of draft picks, and just go on your day? Like, you have an opportunity here with KD is to win a championship or trade him for the world. And like, to me, those are your two options. So why settle for less?
You're talking about the Nets here.
Well, I'm talking about the Nets here, sorry. But I know I know you're talking from other GM's perspective. Like, why would I want to trade for 34G? The reason is because every other team, like according to Woj, 15 other teams put in interest. And throughout the year have put in, like for a long time, teams have always been interested. And even before the Hawks actually, before they trade for DeJounte Murray, kind of knew like there was some rumblings happening in Brooklyn. But they weren't too sure, and they said, "Look, we'll just go for it. We're gonna overpay for DeJounte Murray. We're gonna give 3 first round picks, and we're just gonna call it a day. And we're gonna pair DeJounte Murray or defensive player with Trae Young, like a great all star backcourt." But if they had this awareness that KD was actually going to put in a trade request, and they had all their picks, and they had all the other players that you know the Nets have liked in the past, like John Collins and Kevin Huerter and other players that could be included. Maybe the Hawks could be a bigger player, but they're not going to do it now, obviously, because they don't have as many picks. So it, like a lot of teams still want, like a lot of GMs still want to go after KD. And, it, you know, you're saying like, oh, why would this GM want to do it? It's because every other GM is also in it. So they don't want to lose out. They don't want to miss out on the opportunity of getting KD and seeing what is the asking price. And you're right, if it's only the Raptors and the Suns and the Heat and maybe one other team in play, if there's only 4 teams in play, yeah, I think Sean Marks will have to face reality and say, are we going to have to sell low or we just keep on a happy KD? That's going to be a tough situation. But from the reporting, it doesn't sound like that's the case. Yeah, the trades are stagnant at the moment, but a lot of teams are still interested. They're not pulling out. It's still a lot of teams that haven't quit on this situation and still really want KD.
I think all the teams want KD. KD's one of the best players in the league. He's still one of the best players in the league.
And he's on contract for 4 years. Even if his last or 2 years is bad, like you get 2 prime KD years. He still played extremely well last year. Like,
This is the thing. The Nets have, they just signed KD last year to a 5-year contract.
Four-year
contract. I mean, what good did that do to him? What good did that do them? If you're not a KD's list destination team, then I think you'd be quite wary to give up a lot of picks or a lot of assets in this trade. And I think, like I said, the reason why this trade hasn't gone down is because the offers aren't good enough. And I'm not sure if the offers will get that much better. You know, you bring up Rudy Gobert and the King's ransom that Gobert got. But, you know, look at the commentary. Look at the perception around the league. People were scratching their heads and saying, what just happened? Why did the Wolves go all in on Rudy Gobert and give up their future? So I'm not sure if we can normalize that and go, well, KD is at least 3 times better than Rudy Gobert, and therefore KD should get 30 draft picks. More so, teams are looking at the Kings and like, whoa, did they hire Vlade Divac? Like, what happened there? What the fuck just happened? So I think it's not really useful for Brooklyn to say, look, this is a baseline, because that's not a baseline. That's a baseline if you're dealing with a retarded team like the Timberwolves. And the places that KD wants to go to, they're not retarded, and they're not going to give you that. Danny Ainge is not going to give you that for KD. Masai Ujiri is not going to give you that.
I think that's fair. I totally agree with you. But you can't just be like, I'm dealing with sharks now, so I'm just going to give up. Like, Sean Marks is not just going to give up. I agree with you. Those front offices, Danny Ainge in Utah, Masai Ujiri in Toronto, they're much better handling their business in their respective cities. But for Sean Marks, who's a very respectable GM, and I think he's very good, but he's not going to just bend over and just do whatever KD says. Because at the end of the day, he is in charge of the Brooklyn Nets. He's been entrusted by Josiah to handle this team and do what's best for this team's future. And the future of this team is not just trading KD for a bag of chips. He's going to hold out, and he's going to say, look, I don't care about this arbitrary, imaginated timeline. Like, I don't care what the media say. Like, oh, we've been hearing things are closing in here and closing. Like, there's just made up sources. Like, they're not important. Sean Marks is going to do exactly what he wants, and he's going to do it at his own timeline, basically. He's going to be patient with it, because he's not going to just sell it because people are growing impatient, or KD is growing impatient or growing angry. It doesn't matter. If the bridge is burnt at this point, then fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, you could trade him. You could trade him for something. But if you're not getting the package that you deserve, or you think it's going to help you win in the future, then why bother? You
know? I am 100% aligned with the Nets front office on this issue, which is exactly what you've outlined right there. As the Nets front office, we're in no rush to trade KD. We have all the leverage in this situation.
Yeah, why give what? Yeah, exactly. What's the point? Why give it? Why just give it up?
What's the point of trading KD to get sucky assets back to only then suck and then give up all those draft picks to the Houston Rockets? Why not just keep KD?
Yeah, exactly.
You have 4 years of KD. And ultimately, you have this unique leverage, which is that KD is 34 years old. And you have him for 4 more years. Essentially, you have KD for the rest of his career, for all practical purposes.
Yeah, most likely.
At age 38, I'm not saying KD is not going to be a hugely successful and important talent. I'm saying that he'll move to a different phase of his career, right? But he's no longer the KD that we know, right? Top two, top three player. Because there's young players coming up, right? But what my point being that KD also knows this. KD probably knows that he can play till he's 40, 41, 42 if he wanted to. But in terms of prime dominating KD, this is now. This is now. And if the Nets don't trade him, then he needs to showcase and build his legacies here. Because if they don't trade KD and he doesn't want to play, that's it for KD. That's it. It's over.
I just think you're kind of making my argument before. Maybe I wasn't saying it well, but this is his legacy. He has to make a choice. As in, like, he's made his choice already a week ago, saying, I want out. I don't want to play for this team anymore. But if the Nets don't trade him, then what is he going to do? He's going to say, Kyrie, please, I need you. Let's play. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's all I'm saying.
When I say that the trades aren't there, the assets aren't there, I'm not saying it to say that the Nets are doomed. Lucky they got to get rid of KD. No, 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 not at all. I'm saying they still have KD. And they should not. Because of KD, because of the media, because of the talk, feel any pressure, any rush to get rid of KD for 70 cents on dollar, 80 cents on dollar. No, you get full value for KD, if not more. Because what's the worst case? The worst case is that you have KD. And, you know, KD doesn't come across as a player that wants to waste the last final years of his prime. And if he turns out to be that player that wants to waste the last years of his prime, then I guess KD is not the KD that we thought he was.
Well, the worst case is succumbing to the pressure and selling KD for 50 cents on the dollar.
You can't do that.
Selling, or Kyrie, you know, obviously would, you'll be selling very low. But if you really want to just get rid of these guys, like Josai, or the reports on what Josai has been saying, like, I'm done with these guys. I don't want to win. I want to win with guys that want to be here and want to win. And I don't want to pay for overpaid talents. Then I don't know. I just think you're right. What's the worst case that can happen? The worst case right now is you end up with KD, and KD is motivated at least to protect his legacy, which at this point is still very good. He still has a chance to move up.
I just feel like whatever assets that you're not happy with, I feel like if you don't move KD for a year, the same assets will be there next year.
And who knows? Like, Scottie Barnes might have a sophomore slump. He might not be as good as he played in his rookie year, in his rookie of the year campaign.
Please leave Scottie alone, okay? Why are you keep sending me?
You became silent. Sorry. Can't hear you.
Let's leave Scottie Barnes out of this for now. You know, you keep sending me links to like the Nets Reddit board with, and the Nets talk, the fans talking as if Scottie Barnes already suited up for the Nets. Let's just hold off on that for a little bit, because like I said, I still think that you can make this work with KD. Because I'm reminded that one year when Kobe Bryant said that the Lakers better trade him.
Yes.
He'd rather play for Venus or Mars than play for the Lakers. Yes. And then what did Jerry Buss, world-class owner Jerry Buss, say? No, we can't do that, Kobe. You're too valuable.
I think it was only like 29 back then, right?
And you think the Black Mamba is going to sit out? That's part of the Black Mamba DNA? No. No way. No way. He's too competitive. And if we think KD is who we think he is, I think he'll be competitive. I'm not saying the Nets win a championship, but as long as you get to the playoffs, you don't give the Rockets lottery picks.
This is what I'm saying.
I think we're in agreement there. I don't think that the Nets are... It's not a good situation that they're in. It's a disaster what has happened.
No, of course.
But at the end of the day, guess what? Thank goodness you signed KD for 4 years and you get this asset that's still with you for 4 years.
If at one point he felt like, great, I love what the Nets are doing. I'm here. I'm re-signing with the Nets. I'm signing for another 4 years. And then I don't know how many months later, like 6 months later, he's like, nah, I want out. I want to trade. Who's to say in 6 months' time, like with how well TJ Warren's playing, because they just signed TJ Warren.
Bubble MVP.
How well Royce O'Neal, who's a good defender, who was a starter for the Utah Jazz. Who knows how happy KD might be? And then he's like, okay, look, like you said with Kobe. Kobe wanted a trade in the offseason. Jerry Buss said, no way, we're not trading Kobe. I think they go on to win multiple championships like a couple years later or something like that. I forget the timeline, but it's too early to say right now.
Kane, I did not look at our running sheet at all. We've finished our show without covering any of the topics on our running sheet.
We didn't even get a chance to talk about I guess 1 to 10. How much do you care about Gobert trading? Are you confident that this trade could work for the Wolves? Do you have any confidence this trade could work for the Wolves? 1 to 10. 1 being I'm not confident at all, this sucks. Or 10, like I got a lot of confidence it's going to work for the
8.
Wolves.
8. I give it an 8.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you're pretty high. Okay. Well, 1 to 10, how much do you think they're overpaid?
10. They definitely overpaid. But at the same time...
Definitely overpaid.
Look, we've been making fun of the Wolves. I've been making fun of the Wolves in the past. But when they do a big balls move like this, I applaud them. And if it doesn't work out, fine. But I feel like they've substantially upgraded that team. I feel like they definitely overpaid. But if they can be a winner, then who cares? Who cares if you overpay?
I 100% agree with you. I was like thinking, why are we shitting on the Wolves? Like, when's the last time they won anything? When's the last time they won a playoff series? Maybe Kevin Garnett, Western Conference Finals?
They haven't
Kevin
won Garnett? In, like, literally six, like,
2001?
Like 20 years.
1997?
And guess what they had during those 20 years? They had all their assets. They had top picks and all their assets.
They had all the picks. They had all the first-round picks, yep. And, I mean, even in the last 2 years, they drafted two first-round picks and they got a second overall pick in... D'Angelo Russell and then Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns are first overall picks. And they still haven't won a playoff series.
You can't disrespect the Wolves from not doing anything. And then once they do something, you still disrespect them, right? I feel like this is going all in. And I like it. I like this, and I think they'll be a great team.
I completely agree. I couldn't have said it better myself, honestly. And I couldn't, because that's exactly how I felt. I don't know why the media is shitting on the... like. I guess some people love shitting on the Wolves because it's like they can never do anything right. So anything they do, even if like any signing they do, it's like you're just going to shit on them because they're obviously going to end up in a bad place.
Okay, Kane, we need you in our show.
Hopefully by next week, we don't hear any new trade news. I think by next week, if Katie's still on trade, I think there's a good chance that we're going to go into like training camp with this. And maybe the trade talks might revive by trade deadline time, like next year. But I think there's a good chance that Katie and even Kyrie sit up as a net into the season, and then maybe we might hear renewed talks if another team picks. But I just don't think there's any rush from the Nets to trade KD if they're not getting consummate equal value.
I want to speak from the heart to all the Nets fans around the world. I know things feel very grim and dark right now.
This is coming from an abandoned Nick fan.
On last episode, Kane said that he might off himself if KD gets traded. He was just joking there. Don't do that, please.
Luckily, he isn't. I haven't followed through.
Don't do that. Okay. He's just joking, dear listeners. We need all our listeners here with us. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. Sorry. Please stay safe. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.